Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN Radio on VFNT. We give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience around the world, around the nation. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We're going to be talking more about what was on the previous programs just a few moments ago about the Cloward and Piven strategy that's taken place. And you know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And today, which means we don't have to be destroyed if we invest in learning some stuff. And the technology today and everything, nobody wants anybody to think anymore. Mm. Just stop thinking. How you're thinking is wrong. Let me tell you how to think. And that's how it started in the garden, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. When Satan was talking to Eve. But I do want to say today that yesterday I said goodbye to my 40s. That's evil. You know, because we've been so busy. And we've been so busy, I didn't get a chance to really pay attention that you have your 20s and your teens, like John, mm-hmm. who just found out he was a teenager.
Yeah. Teenager.
Yeah.
And he just looks old.
That's it.
No, he actually looks young. He's an old man.
He's an old man.
He shows up in his sweats before makeup, and they fix them all up and stuff. And so I'm realizing, you know, I go to bed, as I said the other day, and I'm realizing, my goodness, you know, this is it. I'm not going to be in my 40s anymore. I mean, it was rapidly approaching, and I'm thinking, I was too tired to even. It's like, okay. But then I'm on the last day. I realize that. So this is the last day. I think, man, I got to go around and just, you know, this is me in my 40s. It's like, it's going to be over,
it's
you know.
Over, man.
And it's like, I don't mind being more than in my 40s. But
really?
But you're just saying you'll never be in your 40s again. I mean, that's done with.
That's it.
It's finitos.
That's it.
And you know, so I'm thinking, my goodness. So, you know, I think I text Pat last night, late in the night. It's like, hey, I just want to talk to you while I'm still in my 40s. You know, and it was just amazing saying goodbye to a decade. And a pretty interesting 50
Today. Are you surprised?
No, actually, I'm now I'm here. There's
You're
nothing
here.
I can do about it. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, you cannot, you know, it just happened. And so I wake up. I'm over it. It's done with. I'm not in my 40s anymore. I'm beyond my 40s. And I'm half of 100.
That's right.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Mm. And so I get up this morning, and for some reason I can't sleep. Now that I'm older, I can't sleep as well. I'm up like at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. I tried to call Pat. There was no
answer.
Yeah,
I don't have that problem.
No.
No, and
You're a young man. Young.
Mm. And I get up, and finally Donna comes in and says, "What's wrong with you?" No, she didn't say that.
Wake up.
She says, "Did you go to your office yet this morning?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't go to my office yet this morning. I went out to saw, you know, Max, my dog, and all." I'm like, "We're getting older, man. These are dog years." And so she says, "You go to your office." I go to my office, and when I get into my office, when I get into my office, there's a card in there. For my wife, she laid a card on my keyboard and all that kind of stuff. Donna did, and it was, it said, you won't believe what it said on the front of the card.
What did it say?
It says something like, "Happy 50th. It just doesn't even, you know, it's like, whose card is this? I did one of the Pat things, one of the Chris things, you know. Like, okay, that's right, today is the 50th birthday. And she says, "I just have a whole day of surprises for you. A whole day of surprises.
Wow.
Is that beautiful?
That's beautiful. Wow.
And
what a gift.
I'm not an easy person to surprise." It's like,
No.
I don't know why. I may just written all over everybody's faces. Some people just think out loud. You can hear them thinking, you know. Anyway,
Knowing their thoughts.
Knowing their thoughts. But, and so I didn't know this. So all of a sudden she says, at 7 o'clock, I have a surprise for you, because she knows that's about when I kind of grab a bite or something, or the shake thing. And I come out of my office and she has, my wife, went to Cracker Barrel.
Ooh.
And got fresh baker's dozen of fresh biscuits from Cracker Barrel.
Wow.
Oh my.
And she lays that out before me, 7 o'clock this morning, and I'm thinking, I'm just moved. I mean, because their biscuits are the real deal.
Yeah.
And they have the real, just the smell of them that smells good. And so I'm thinking, I'm just kerplumped, as, you know, Renee would say. And so I'm like, you know,
you thinking,
this is, and so then all of a sudden she reaches over and goes behind the table to pull something out. I'm like, what are you going to do? And she pulls out a, like a 20 pack or something of figs. Like maybe 12 jars of figs.
12 jars?
Yeah, jars of fig preserves, which is one of my favorite. And it has to be the fig, not broken up, the whole fig.
The whole big.
Yeah, whole big fig. And my wife drove all the way, and my daughter, Amber, drove all the way to Alabama.
Really?
Wow.
All the way to Alabama, because that's where they make some of the best figs. Mm-hmm. I think all the way to the state, Alabama. And bought a case of fig preserves. I had figs from Alabama, and I had biscuits from Cracker Barrel waiting for me at 7 o'clock in the morning. And that's just the beginning of my surprise.
Wow. So how were they? What a wife. Wow.
Seven. It was seven.
Now how were they?
Oh, they were very good. They were very good. Not like my shake.
You know, shake's going on.
I normally have a shake.
Yeah, forget the shake.
No. Forget the shake.
But I was just so touched that my wife, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that was a surprise for me.
She knows your love language.
That was definitely figs. Food first. Figs. Figs and biscuits. Figs and biscuits. And if you haven't tried that yet, a lot of people have different figs, but figs from Alabama, they have the whole fig, and it's just, I was just so touched.
Well, I'm glad she didn't get you any Bojangle biscuits, because this morning we would have had a different, you know, program.
Yeah.
You listen to our Bojangle segment.
Yeah. These biscuits have already risen already. That would not be good. That would not be good. And then, you know, I got a phone call from my sister, Cindy, and who, by the way, God spoke to in a dream, and she said, this is the word that God gave her, quantitative easing. And she's very sanguine.
Serious?
I mean, she's just one word who wouldn't cross her vocabulary.
She didn't know what that is.
She didn't know what it was.
Wow.
And it was a confirmation. That's what we were talking about. It was the same day that we were talking about that night. She actually heard that. And so she went back and listened to that segment. So that's
what she hadn't heard it yet?
No.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
So get ready for QE3, you know. And it was just cool. It's really cool to see the love and all that. But just figs and biscuits. I used to say I like chicken and dumplings, and everybody brought chicken and dumplings. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh. But a good biscuit and some figs, there's nothing like anything. Toast is good with a good fig. So I just want to say thank you to my wife, and I'm excited about the day, because we are going to go on a journey, she said.
Wow.
And she's going to be driving. I'm going to be in the passenger seat.
Can you handle that?
Yeah,
can we borrow your limousine today?
Yeah, sure.
We can borrow your limousine.
You can fit.
And your driver. Can you fit? I didn't eat that many biscuits.
Well, you know.
Well, anyway, my goodness, if you miss our earlier program where we're talking about where we are this present day, we have to pay attention to today. Tomorrow has enough problems. Today has enough problems, the Lord says in His Word. He says, we just need to focus on today and just trust God for today. And so often we're thinking too much about tomorrow and regretting yesterday that we don't do what we're supposed to do today.
Mm-hmm.
And today, right now, this very moment, our Senate, our government's using the nuclear option. They're saying it. They are preventing the normalcy of our founding fathers and what they've established for 200 something years. They're forcing the world, the world's being organized, and understand this could not happen if it was one man. You cannot fall to the trap of the adversary to make you think and blame an individual. Understand, God is allowing a storm to be fashioned against us. and against the world right now. And we can see the storm, and you can hear this warning right now. You can hear this trumpet blasting right this moment. And you can heed, and you can repent, and you can turn, and God would stop the storm that he is fashioning. Hmm. There's no way that one man could organize the world. And if you have been listening, you still can listen to what's going on. It's still available. That our president's pastor said, you don't understand. He was selected before he was elected. He has some folks he has to be able to do some things for. He's trying to tell people just to kind of relax a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because you don't just get there. You get selected. And who do you let select you is really important. And he has to take care of them first.
Hmm.
And God tells us, and the Word of God tells us, to pray for those in authority over us. If you buy into the anger and resentment and bitterness and blame, instead of realizing that if you look in the mirror, you'll see what your issue is. It's us. We're the ones that have gone astray. The church has gone astray. Hmm. And we're very religious, possibly. I don't know. But we've gone astray from Jesus, from following him. And we need to turn back to Jesus. We bought into the thing that that Eve bought into.
Mm.
And this is what's about to happen. If this strategy is successful, and it doesn't change, the kingdom of God goes on no matter what. The kingdom of God is inside. You're about to find out it's not about a building. It's mm-hmm. going to free you up, by the way, because you've been living for that building instead of living for the building of God, which is the people that you've been forced into serve the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to be free for that building. Hey, buildings are good. Now, I'm not, hey, rain, gathering places, I'm not saying anything against buildings. You know, I pray the Lord will bless your building. You're going to be debt-free. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm not saying anything negative against that. I'm just saying don't serve it.
That's right.
Serve
right.
God. But if the Cloward and Piven strategy is successful and the system is overwhelmed, and it really is right now, I think they're just shocked that how far it's gone and nobody mm-hmm. has freaked out, is that there's going to be the uber rich and the uber poor. Mm-hmm. The middle class is going to be gone. You're going to have the people who have great wealth are going to get richer, and the people who are poor are going to be very poor, and the middle class are going to be poor. There's not going to be a middle class anymore. That was the unique thing about America, was the fact this middle class thing was just so unique. And so the medical care being taken over by the government, this is what happens. Doctors quit practicing medicine. They don't work for the government. They say, I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to be a pianist. I'm going to be, you know, something else. I'm not going to be a doctor. But then some doctors say, you know, I'm going to have a specialty. Hmm. I'm going to be a neuro specialist or something. And so these systems allow for those kind of things to happen. And so you have the uber rich can afford to go to that man, but now there's no middle class. So the poor can't afford. The poor will have to go to the government healthcare system, which tells you how many children you can have, how long you can live, and all that kind of stuff. While the uber rich, they're still going to have their So they're not going to lose out. That's why they're supporting this.
Mm-hmm.
But the middle class is about to be gone.
Mm.
These are the reports right now. And I know we got to go to break. But the reports are when you go to sign up for the government health care, and you have to sign up for it, you're going to be in panel. You know, we're going to talk more about that in a moment. But it directs you and automatically signs you up for the Cloward and Piven strategy. It automatically signs you up to take money from the government
mm-hmm.
so you can get used to it, because that's how it's going to be. If they get their wishes, 100% tax. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Maybe you've heard someone excuse their anger by saying, "That's just who I am." This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and Lisa Turkers suggests that you can overcome those tendencies.
One better reaction can change the course of how we're viewed by other people. And so, if you've labeled yourself, "I'm an exploder, I'm just an angry person, this is part of my DNA, I can't help it," I would say, no, you're not a freak out person. You're not. Maybe you've had some incidences where you've panicked and had a bad reaction, but it is possible to make progress in this area. Prove it to yourself by having one better reaction this week.
Every journey begins with a step. So start today with a step in the right direction and see how your relationships benefit from the positive choices and change. For more trusted advice for your life, stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Well, I'll let you know about our special offer this week. It's so important. I think you're probably seeing it right now on the screen that you can go to VFNTV.com, click on special offer. You see it right there, and it takes you right to the special offer, which is No One Calls for Justice, learning the importance of crying out for God's justice. And one of the things that really bothers us as flawed vessels, flawed people, is we're concerned about the gavel coming down on us.
Yeah.
And we should be if we have not yet made a relationship, got our relationship right with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But you've got to hear this, because until someone cries for justice, and justice is getting things back in God's order again. By the way, all you have to do is go there, make an offer of whatever's on your heart, just make an offer. And it's yours. You can download it instantly and it'll be available to you. You know, what a question. I mean, think about this. You could begin to cry for justice, and justice is putting things back in their rightful order again. And how many things are out of order today? I mean, how many things are really out of order? That's all it is. What do we need? We need God's justice. But you know what? We got to start with getting ourselves back in order before we start pointing our finger at a world that's out of order.
That's right.
And you got to hear this, because if we wait too late, and a lot of people will, we're bait. You know, it's what he says. You'll be like bait if you wait too late. And some people are just waiting and say, okay, I have no choice. I'm losing my company now. I'm losing my house now. I'm losing my country now. I'm going to say something. It's like, it's too late, brother.
It's done.
You know, you're fixing to be fodder. You're fixing to be bait, you know, and it's stand up now for what's right. Even if you do lose these things, understanding then God will reorder our nation, because he's good and he's just. And so get that. It's available to you right now. Go to VFNTV.com this week and click on this week's special offer, and you will see it there. No one calls for justice. No one cries for justice. And you're going to get excited, because you can find out, wait a minute, I can be a part of God's justice movement. I can begin to cry out for justice. And somebody says, well, what about you? You're going to say, but I allowed God's justice to be served on his son, because I accepted his son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. You're right, but Jesus took that on for me, and he can take that on for you too.
That's right.
Isn't that awesome?
That's powerful.
Go get it today at VFNTV.com on the front page.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. If you have not yet, and we're fixing to make this right now where you can actually see this, the Healthcare 101, the simplicity coming from the White House here. Let me find it. Here we go. That this is in 3 minutes explaining the Affordable Health Care Act, how it actually works. And you're going to be able to see this on Christian Television Network, or you can watch it on The Torch. But in 3 minutes, listen to this. They're going to explain what they're calling Obamacare here. You get this at whitehouse.gov as well. Listen up.
Let's talk about the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, and what it means for you. Say you've got private health insurance already. Maybe you have it through your job or your parents. Obamacare means you get a host of new benefits and protections. For example, insurance companies are now required to cover women's wellness visits, mammograms, birth control for women, immunizations for kids, all without charging you a penny more. That means no extra copays or fees. Young adults can now stay on their parents' plan until they turn 26. Insurance companies can't limit the amount of care they'll cover over your lifetime. Also, if your insurance company spends more than 20% of your premium dollars on overhead, stuff like CEO salaries, marketing, administrative costs, they have to send you a refund for the difference. In January, that list of benefits gets even longer. It will be illegal to charge you higher premiums or refuse coverage because you get sick or have been in the past. Charging women more than men for the exact same coverage, also illegal. No more deciphering page after page of jargony paperwork from your insurance company to determine what they will or won't cover. Instead, you'll get a short, plain language summary of your benefits and coverage. Easy, right? You can learn more at healthcare.gov. Okay, what about the folks without health insurance or people who buy coverage on their own? here's what Obamacare has for you. A new, simple way to buy affordable, high-quality health insurance. Starting October 1st, you can go to healthcare.gov and use the new health insurance marketplace to see all of the health plans available in your area and sign up for the one that fits your needs and your budget. You can also find out if you're eligible to pay less for private health insurance or whether you qualify for other free or low-cost programs. All the plans in the marketplace are required to cover a core set of essential health benefits: doctor's visits, emergency care, prescriptions and lab tests, rehab for illness or injury, mental health services. They all come standard. Plus, all those benefits and protections available to people who already have insurance, no-cost preventive care, coverage for pre-existing conditions, accountability for insurance companies, you get all of that too. You can apply for Marketplace coverage four ways: online at healthcare.gov, by mail, on the phone, or in person. And open enrollment starts October 1st. You can learn more right now by visiting healthcare.gov or calling 1-800-318-2596. So here's the bottom line. Whether you need health coverage or you have it already, the Affordable Care Act offers new rights and protections that make coverage fairer and easier to understand.
Well, that just sounds all wonderful. Mm. Of course, the issue is... the website's not working.
Mm.
When your representatives, your congressmen and women called the ones who are over this, Kathleen Sebelius, I guess, mm-hmm. right, and others, and asked, you know, about what's wrong, and they say, well, actually, this is the reports now, that when we launched it, 60% of it wasn't even done yet.
Mm.
60% of the system wasn't even developed yet, and they launched it. You think, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, it does make sense when you understand Cloward and Piven. This has nothing to do. Imagine this. You're a parent. You and your husband, you and your wife, y'all come home, and all of a sudden you have three of your teenagers sitting in the house, and this is what they say. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Have a seat. We have a plan for you. We've decided we got some things we want to unfold. We have a vision, a new vision for America, a new vision for the house. And we're not going to take in consideration anything you're contributing right now. We're just going to tell you how it's actually going to be. I understand that we're not working. I understand that we're eating here and we're living under your roof and all that. But just put all that aside. What we're going to do is, I decided and we decided together that you are going to begin to take care of some things that we need. You know, we've asked for these things for some years past, and you have told us no. And you even said you couldn't afford it, but we're not even going to talk about that issue. We want you to, every one of us want our own PlayStation 2. We want to be able to drive a nice sports car. And she wants a red one, and we both want blue ones. We want convertible tops. We want surfboards, and we want, you know, mountain climbing gear. We want vacations at least, I don't know, 10 months out of the year. We want to be able to play with our friends, and we definitely want cell phones, latest technology in cell phones. And no. Hold on. We're not through yet. We don't care how much you earn. Doesn't matter, because we found out, Mom, Dad, that you didn't tell us that you could go borrow more money. You could have borrowed more, and you have not been borrowing more money. And listen, not only that, Mom and Dad, you know, I want, and we've decided this together, you to take care of us until we're 26, despite the fact that people used to, that used to be half life for society, toward 26. And not only that, that if we get hurt or something like that, we want you to pay for it. And if you got to go borrow money, we don't care if you got to borrow money. We're not going to pay you back. We live here for free anyway. You just go borrow more money. Just keep borrowing. I don't care. Borrow more money to be able to take care of it. We want you to take care of us, and we're going to have kids. We're going to have kids any way that we want to have them. If we want to have the kid, if we want to conceive the kid out of wedlock and kill it in our womb, we want you to pay for it. If we want to have a kid without being married, we want you to pay for it. And if we want to be married and have a kid, we want you to pay for it. Don't you understand, Mom and Dad? We want you to pay for our life. And all you got to do is go borrow money. Mm. Now, and this is a little bit more difficult. If you go back a decade or two, that kid, you know, would have a talking to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the parent would say, well, I hate to hear you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let us know the new country you're going to be living in.
Yeah.
But this is what Americans doing. This is what America's doing right now. They're saying, government, sit down. America, sit down. Let me explain to you. 60% is reported. 60% on every dollar that's spent by our government. It's borrowed. Over 50% of Americans are already taking, are not paying in at all and taking from the government. And now we're saying we want you to take care of the health care. We want you to take care of all this stuff. We understand you can go to China and borrow money. You can go to the Middle East, these oil companies, you can borrow money. Besides, I understand you got a savings account. You need to go cash it in. You are responsible for our life. It's going to crash the system. What's going to happen if your parents, and some parents do this, they go out and borrow, and it just crashes in. But the difference with governments versus households is we can survive the household, but when a government crashes, you're going to come out with a new government, new laws, new constitutions, and under deep bondage, because everybody that borrows is slave to the lender. And whoever loaned that money, whoever loaned the money to your family, and whoever loaned the money to that country, they're going to want to be the ones running that country. It's about to crash. How obscene and crazy, the audacity for kids to tell their parents that. But that's exactly what's happening in America as we speak. That's why it doesn't matter to them that everybody that goes to the website and signs up for governmental support in that time automatically does it. They might not ever provide the health care, but just as long as you crash the system in Cloward and Piven, then they can reboot it like they want it to be.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Also, if you're on the Gulf Coast, contact AB Mobile Mechanics. They're fast, friendly, and fair. They do everything from ACs to water pumps. Give them a call today. Also on the Gulf Coast, ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. All of your security and monitoring needs. Give them a call today. Secure that home and that business. And if you're in Mobile, Alabama, contact Stephen Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop. Listen, no job is too big, no job is too small. Contact them today and visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it? Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. Yeah. That God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he cares
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I'm telling you, this is an amazing, amazing team. Some of the guys behind the scenes just work so hard, and everybody. It's amazing the team it takes to bring this to you. VFN Radio on VFN TV, Christian Television Network, and it's a beautiful team. And I'm just honored to be a part of what God is doing. But there's people working tirelessly to make this a reality. And we are excited about doing it, and mm-hmm. we're honored about doing it. And what even honors us even more and excites us when you partner with us, when you say, you know what, I want to give financially every single month. I want to partner with them, because this is what he said. This is what the Word of God says. If you do that, all these people who are physically working nonstop to be able to deliver this truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week around the world, whatever reward they get, you get too. And I'm also encouraged and honored by the fact by the businesses and the ministries to say, you know what? We want to publicly stand up for God and country in that order and Israel, and they become a sponsor, an underwriter. This is an amazing thing. What a privilege of us, God's giving us all to be able to do this together. Think about it. If they did the first two great awakenings in America on horseback, if we stand together, if God sees us walking in that John 17:23 unity in the place of the commanded blessed and spoke about it, Psalms 133, guess what? That's the place of the commanded blessing. God would respond. People just need to hear the truth. They just need the light in this dark times. That is what honors me. It honors me for the whole team, our sponsors, our underwriters, our partners, and the team that's in the studios, and that even in the television area, we're just thankful to be a part of it.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to say before we come to this last part of our programs today is something happened in the beginning when God created the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and they're walking around in the garden with God. I mean, with God in the evening, the cool of every day. They're walking, and God's just like, oh, how was your day? It was pretty good, you know, and ate a few animals and ate some fruit and whatever. And it was pretty good. How was your day? Oh, I don't know. I created a few universes and held mm-hmm. everything together and gave you some air to breathe and all that. And it was just awesome things were going on. And then God had two trees in the garden amongst all the other trees. And these trees were very unique trees. One tree was called the tree of life, and the other one's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of all the things that God was, expectations of a man was, hey, take dominion. It's all yours. Go forth, replenish, do everything, you know, just go for it. It's just yours. I'll roll up here and you roll down there under me. And in the context of that, he says, oh, but just one thing here, this tree called the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from it. Hmm. That was it. That was it. It's like, don't touch the wet paint.
All right.
You know,
right.
Is it wet?
Stay away from the cookie jar.
The sin nature. Yeah, the sin nature. And so that was it. That was the whole thing. And so, okay, we got it clear. This is all he said. This is what he told us to don't eat from that particular tree. So what happens? This is how the fall of man happened. This is a few simple words that took place. And it's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And Satan was in a form of a serpent in this garden right here. And he says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, this is Eve, did God really say? Think about it. I want you to pause for a moment. Did God really say? It's like, hello, how are you doing? Why would you even bring that up to me? Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? It's like, it's kind of, you know, what are you talking about? Well, why would you even mention that with me? Why are you talking about any tree You know, and the woman, you know, said back to Lucifer, the serpent, and says, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. If you touch it, you'll die. Mm. So Lucifer, the serpent, says, you will certainly not die. What did your preacher tell you? What did that cult, what is those Jesus followers? You won't die. This is what Satan says back. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows. Speaking of the, all of a sudden, God knows that when you eat from this particular thing, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be just like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And of course, she buys into it. She eats, and that's the fall of man. That's the beginning of your fall, America. The beginning of your fall, Mr. Ma'am, is this, son, is questioning what God said. It always begins with a question. Did God say that? Oh, come on. Did he really say you would die? Did he really say that? That these are the ones who don't enter the kingdom of heaven. Did he really say, is that really a sin? And did he? Come on. And then he presents to you a bipolar narrative, which means it sounds a lot like what was being said, but it's the opposite. And he comes right in and he says, you will not die, which is the opposite. God said, you will die. Mm-hmm. And then, now that you bought into those first two tears of that conversation, if you don't run back to the cross and repent, the next thing you're going to be falling to is now they're going to speak for God and they're going to say, see, God knows. He knows if you do this, you're going to be like God. You're going to have a lot of fun and you're going to have all these. He's just denying that stuff from you. He just doesn't want you to be. He knows you're going to be like him. He doesn't want you to be like him. He don't want you. He's, you know, and just provoking that sinful jealousy and all those things going on. And of course, that was how the thing fell. It's how the fall of man. Mm-hmm. And you think about it today. I mean, think about all what God is clearly tells us. He says so specifically, not only is it spoken, but it's written down. I mean, it's written. It's not like it's somebody said something. You could easily be misinterpreted. You can actually read what he said. And think about all the things that are being said in regards to what God said. And you're hearing things like, you know, what God clearly says about other gods. And people are like, you know, did God really say that? Did he really say that? You know, what God says about sexuality. You know, did God really say that? What God says about finances. Oh, come on. Did God really say that? Are we really robbing from God? What God says about marriage between a husband and a wife, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just what he says between a husband and a wife. Come on. Did God really say that the husband's the head of the wife, like Christ said to the church? Come on. That's just, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Think about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or what God says about fathers. Did God really say that about fathers? What God says about children and parents. Oh, come on. Come on, really? Did God really say that? What God says about employees? Come on, really? Really? You mean, did God really say you can't protest your boss and force them to be in compliance with your will? Did he say, oh, come on, did he really say that? What did he say about, you know, with children? Did he really say submit to your parents? Oh, come on, did God really say that? Or what about employers? You know, did God say that I'm going to be held accountable how I treat my employees? Oh, my goodness. Come on. What God says about authority. Did God really say, come on, there's no such thing as real authority anymore, is there? What about God said about discipleship? Come on. Did God really say to make disciples of nations, the true disciple is somebody that actually knows and follows his teaching? Come on. Did God really say that? What about obedience? Oh, come on. You know. Did God really say that loving him is obeying him? Come on. You can love him without obeying him. What about love? Come on. Did God really say that you got to love? I mean, you can hate folks and all that kind of stuff, you know, right? Come on, he didn't say that.
Wow.
Come on. What did God say about forgiveness? Come on. He didn't say you have to be forgive. You have to forgive before you can be forgiven. Come on. You can hold unforgiveness your whole life. Oh, what did God say about, you know, going into all the world and preaching the gospel? Come on. Did he really say that? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to tell him what God said about the poor. Oh, come on. Did God really say that he that lends to the poor lends to God? If you ignore the poor, you ignore God. Come on and on and on. Think about it. Eve had one question about one tree, and we got 500 trees that is written on these trees, do not do this and do that, and we're buying one bipolar narrative after another, and we're going through, and all of a sudden, now, what you're hearing now, you're hearing exactly the next level of, now that we bought into all that, you're hearing people saying, this is actually what God says, and it's bipolar opposite. This is what finances are. This is what marriage is. This is what family is. This is what children are supposed to be. This is what a husband and wife's relationship is supposed to be. It's the total opposite of what God says. Total opposite. That's what happened. It happened in the fall of man in the garden, and now it's happening all peripherally, all over the place, and in what we call the church is happening in that as well. And the next question is, when you buy into the lie of saying, he knows, let me tell you what God says. It's all right what you're doing. It's okay. Don't worry about it. He just didn't want you to have this. He didn't want you to do that. He was just going to hold it back. You know, this is all yours. He knew that you would be God. Mm. You would be like God if you did this. The next thing you know, you have celestial heavens and people saying they're going to be God. And it's like in servants, you know, angels... Lucifer masquerading as an angel of light. No wonder his servants look like servants of righteousness. Hmm. And it's like, think about it. Look at all the many people who are saying today, did God really say that? Think about it. Did God really mean that? This is what God really, this is the God. Let me tell you who God is. And all of a sudden they just describe this other God. They use the same word, the same vocabulary, but that's not the same God. They're preaching to you another Jesus. But that's the way it works. And by the way, if you're wondering how come you're in the predicament you're in right now, because you had this conversation with Lucifer, and you started thinking what God said was optional, and it wasn't even a conversation, it's written in the Bible. Mm-hmm. 81% of the church hasn't even picked it up, according to George Barna in America, to even find out which tree you're supposed to or not supposed to eat from. I mean, you're had the moment that you got up, you were had, because you got to first find out what God says. It's the fall of man. And then all of a sudden, you know, in the 19% that are reading, only 3% are making decisions. They're saying, the 3% are making decisions in their life based on what they read. In other words, they say, okay, I'm not going to eat from that tree because God says don't eat from that tree, but I am going to eat from this tree because God says eat. That's the kind of decisions 3% are making. Hmm. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Do you really think America's not going to fall? 5% of the population of the world is America, by the way. Do you think that we are not going to fall when we've done this to God? Hmm. I mean, we can change it by beginning to personally repent and begin to teach the truth and say, this is what God says. God didn't say that. And I've repented now. And this is the way that we're going to go now. And we're going to tell everybody, this is what God says. But that's going to be a real tough humbling to get to that point, because we have to begin to apologize, repent for the fact of preaching whatever we were preaching that was a lie.
We just cut out.
Why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is all over the faces of those who call themselves the church, the fruit from it. Mm. The question is, if you taught them that, imagine the accountability you're going to have in your life. Mm. Imagine what God thinks about you when you've led God's people astray. He talks about you in Revelation chapter 2. He gives you time to repent, but this is what he says. It's real tough for the ones that are like that to repent. But he also says those who follow her, that follow her teachings that lead the church astray, if you don't repent, you end up in the same bed of suffering. Revelation chapter 2, Church of Thyatira. Mm-hmm. I just want to encourage you, let's go back to the garden. Let's begin to abide with God. Find out about an abiding relationship with him at iabide.org. Understand, it's very simple. God says, do this. don't do that. And then he empowers you through his Son, through his Spirit, when you rely on the finished work of the cross of Christ to do exactly what he says. By the way, he has eternal expectations for us. Wide is the road that leads to the ones who just eat whatever they want to, define God ever how they want to, and change the words and ways of God. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. I want to encourage you today to make a decision for Jesus Christ. If you want to find out about how we met God through his Son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Man, I gotta tell you about this. That my grandfather, my dad's father, used to live with us. And funny, I mean, it was hilarious and some of the things, but he loved to cook everything in the pressure cooker. He loved to cook everything in a pressure cooker, and he was out there at this place that I'm talking about. And he was cooking collard greens. He was cooking collard greens and on the stove in a pressure cooker. And a pressure cooker, for those who don't know, probably it's not a microwave. It is a pot that you put water in and you seal it so tight that air can't get out of it. And if it does, it comes out of a small little area and it builds pressure up inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the old-fashioned microwave.
Yeah.
It was the first microwave. And so it's a bomb on your stove, basically.
Right.
That you're creating some hydrogen bomb, you know, some
oh my
water bomb on your stove. And anyway, so he's cooking in the kitchen or whatever. We had these real high ceilings and these beams up real high. And all of a sudden we hear this kaboom!
Oh,
explosion that took place. And we come running, you know, in there to find out what's going on. Man, there was collard greens all over the place. There was greens in the ceiling, greens everywhere. And he didn't have four hairs on his head. He had greens on his head. There was greens everywhere.
Oh, no.
He tried to take a peek to see if the greens were done yet. And he opened the lid
while I was on.
And it went kaboom! Oh, my goodness. That was so funny. You don't, when you're cooking in a pressure cooker, you just got to trust. You got to move by faith. I think it's done. You take it off. You take it over to the sink. You let cold water run over it until you got a peace with God. And then you open it. Because it's a bomb. It's literally a bomb. But then I thought it was just, what's that?
Speaking of grandfathers, this is hilarious. Must be a grandfather thing with explosions. Yeah. I remember my grandfather, he used to shave. And he used
Your
to
grandfather
heat.
Shaved?
Yeah, he shaved. He shaved. But he used to shave with, he used to heat this can. I guess I don't use cans anymore, but I guess they still do. But the shaving cream can. And he would heat it up.
Yeah, we actually still use cans.
What are you doing?
I don't use shaving cream. I don't use shaving cream.
That's right. He's a dry shaver.
Oh,
let's get back to the story. Come on.
You're so delicate. You're a delicate flower. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So he's heating up this can with his in hot water.
Right.
And I guess he's been doing this for years.
Hot shave. Well,
yeah, it's shaving cream, hot mm-hmm. shave. Mm-hmm. But the thing explodes. It can't explode.
Is it on the stove?
No, this was, I guess, in the sink in the bathroom somewhere. I don't know what he was doing. I was a kid.
Right.
I woke up and I thought it snowed inside the house. Right. There was shaving cream everywhere, yeah. All over his face, all over his body. And his shocked look. Oh, it was hilarious.
Well, this is a grandfather that you used to mess with a lot.
Oh,
is that the one
yes.
you did that thing to?
All those things too. It's amazing. It's amazing. Oh, it bulge on in water.
Yeah, right.
We were at each other with water guns. He'd chase me down and all kinds of stuff. We had some funny moments.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We have some deep talks in our program today. They are so important. We want you to know. I mean, the whole thing, this is what the Lord's specific word was. I have some things I want to tell my people. And he's revealing things to us that we're just sharing with you. It's like there's no middleman. It's just like, boom, you know, you're hearing it. And the fact that we're coming live that day, you're getting a fresh rhema that this day. I mean, you don't need knowledge. You need rhema. You need a word.
Exactly.
And so in the context of all today's programs, if you heard them all, I want you to hear this. Because so many folks, one of the strategies of the adversary was to steal a vocabulary and kept the same words, changed the meanings. And so when you hear certain things, he's keeping with the same words, but he's changed the meaning of them. And so the understanding, did God really say that, or the fall of man was, well, the way to get people to buy in is just keep the same vocabulary, but change the meaning of that word. And one of the meanings that's been, one of the words that's been stolen, lots of them been stolen, you know, one is there is such thing as somebody preaching to you another Jesus. Just a rubber stamp that says the name Jesus does not mean. There are people called named Jesus, by the way. And that ain't Jesus, that is Jesus.
That's Jesus, yeah.
and which is also Jesus. And but you can actually say the name Jesus, and everything they say about this particular Jesus could be a different Jesus. It's not the one, the Son of God. It's just some other Jesus. For example, Islam, they acknowledge Jesus as a prophet, not the Son of God. And so they have this whole other definition of who Jesus is. It's their own definition. They say he's not the Son of God. He has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And so they do say Jesus, and they'll tell you, hey, we believe he's a prophet. But if you go deeper, it's another Jesus they're talking about. And Paul said, if anybody preaches to you another Jesus, and in this, you're going to see a related article post off the torch called Another Jesus. Make sure that's related so people can understand that you can have another Jesus. And sad to say, a lot of people are doing a lot of good stuff. They're doing it in the name of another Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they're doing good stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you want them to be saved, you got to introduce them to Jesus, you know, not good works. And, but another one that's been stolen is, you know, church. And when you say church, you know, people, you know, they think about a building, and hopefully we'll have some related articles to go deeper in that as well, that we've already talked about on the torch about, you know, church, some original tenet of the church is, it's not a physical building. It's not, I don't care how pretty your stucco, your metal, your wood, or your crystal is, and it's, you know, that's a building, physical building, but that's not the church. That word's been stolen. But you'll have people drive by all day long and go, well, look at our church, look at the church, we're going to church, you know, over and over again. But the truth is that Jesus, the right Jesus, is the Son of God, the only way to God, and paid the price for us to get there. In regards to the church is the people, it's us, human beings. When he talks about the church and the word of God's written, he writes to the universal church or the regional church. He talks to the church of Ephesus, the church of Corinth. That means all the believers in your city. If I was going to write a letter to you, I would write a church, you know, to the letter of Passaic, or a letter to Houston, to the church of Houston. And that would include every believer in Houston, Texas. And that's how God sees it, by the way. And so that was been stolen away. So people don't apply the word to themselves because they apply it to the other thing called the church. And they criticize it, and I realize, and you are the church. And the last thing I want to talk about, because what do you do with all this? When you hear people say, God's going to begin to deal with his kingdom, he's going to deal with his church. Now you understand, he's going to deal with us.
Yeah.
He's going to deal with some stuff in his kingdom. He's going to get some stuff out. You know, you should not... Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that you should not have idols inside? So it wasn't what you were talking about in that building. He says, don't you understand you are the building of God?
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about, when he's talking about the kingdom of God, he says in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus tells us the kingdom of God is within you. So what God is going to do, and what, if we'll allow him to do it and say, here I am, God, and this is true revival, this is true a great awakening that would take place, is allow a pillar of fire to come from God's throne room and just hit you right in your chest and burn out everything that's not of God that's in you, because know ye not the kingdom of God is within you. And so it's not rearranging the political scheme. It's not rearranging, you know, the Constitution. It's not rearranging that building up the street or having a new board or bringing a new pastor in or a teacher in. It's the kingdom of God is within you. Mm. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things, his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything, which means you have to begin to be his disciple again. A disciple, this is what Jesus said a disciple is, and it's not optional. He said, if you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciple. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you want the kingdom to be set free, if you want the kingdom to be loose on the face of the earth, it starts with the kingdom of God inside of you. Say, here I am, God. Change the world by changing me. In Jesus' name, be blessed.
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, we even have a map. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits in Pensacola. Oh my goodness, a wonderful meal to go. Also, Cordova Lanes. The weather's changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in. Sign the kids up for the league. It's time to bowl. Also in Pensacola, Glenn Parker, Alan Turner Hyundai. Buying a car is an important decision. You want to buy from someone you trust. You get a car, you can get a Bible in your glove compartment. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.